Have you noticed how we like to save the best for last? Whether it's ending the day with good news or saving dessert for after dinner, we cherish those final positive moments. The Apostle Paul did the same in 1 Corinthians 16. After a letter filled with corrections and tough love, Paul wraps up with encouragement, practical advice, and heartfelt thanks. That's why Stephen called today's lesson, Saving the Best Words for Last. Let's get started.
Have you ever noticed that we have this natural tendency to save the best for last? We want to end the day on a good note. If we've had a day of bad news, we want it to end with good news. I suppose that's the same idea for eating our dinner. We eat the vegetables first and we save dessert for last. Well, throughout this book called 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul has been dishing out some vegetables, some necessary elements of correction and instruction. At times, Paul has been firm, if not harsh. He's attempted to get this church back on the right track. But now in this final chapter, as we sail into chapter 16, Paul has saved the best for last. He saved some positive, some encouraging items to end this letter. And he's going to end the letter now on a good note. He writes here in verse 1 about this special collection he's taking up for the relief efforts back in Jerusalem. He's mentioned this offering in Romans. He's now going to give two entire chapters to the subject over here in 2 Corinthians. But Paul's passion and purpose, according to God's calling, was to preach the gospel, and he never wavered from that assignment. But he was also concerned about the physical well-being of believers. He wasn't a social reformer. He was a preacher. Yet, even as he preached, he did what he could to help suffering believers. And that ought to be our perspective as well. Well, the Corinthians had heard about this relief effort, this special offering, and they evidently asked Paul about it. They were apparently anxious to be involved as well. So Paul now tells them here in verse 2, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. By the way, you might notice that Paul mentions here the first day of the week, and that's Sunday. It's the day that's going to become known by the disciples as the Lord's Day. And this text also implies that the Corinthian believers are meeting together for worship on Sunday. We also know that by chapter 20 in the book of Acts, Sunday had become the official day of worship in honor of the Lord's resurrection. And it also reveals that over time now, the church is separating from its earliest connection with the Jewish synagogue. You see, there's a separation taking place from old Judaism and the Old Testament commandment that God had given to the nation Israel to worship on the Sabbath to this new day. A church is a new organism. It's made up of both redeemed Jews and Gentiles, and they're now worshiping on this new, special day, the Lord's Day, Sunday. Well, now, in this verse, Paul also reveals some characteristics of New Testament giving. Unlike the Old Testament, it was no longer based on a percentage, but according to how God had prospered the believer. Giving here is also countering selfishness. Paul wants to develop in these believers compassion for others. And in this case, it's the needy believers over there in Jerusalem who are in the midst of a famine. Now, Paul reveals his travel plans. He writes here in verse 6, "Perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go." Now, you can read in this text that Paul has a genuine desire to see them. Even though he's corrected them and at times been firm, blunt, really, with them, he genuinely loves them and he desires their fellowship. You know, we need these kinds of Christian leaders today. They're going to be brave enough to rebuke sin, but kind enough to encourage and love the flock. And I so appreciate Paul's perspective and courage here. He writes in verse 9, "For a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Did you catch that? I have this wide door open for me for ministry, and there are many adversaries. You know, we would probably write, "There are many adversaries, so God is obviously, you know, not opening any door for me." Sounds more like a closed door. Well, not to Paul. You see, he evaluated God's will and gospel opportunity a lot differently than many of us would today. Paul didn't consider God's will to be the same thing as smooth sailing. Now, with that, Paul mentions Timothy here in verse 10. He tells the Corinthians to put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord. Evidently, Timothy's heading toward them, as we know. This becomes for us really a good model for every church today. How do we treat pastors? How do we treat traveling evangelists or missionaries? Does your church put them at ease or make them feel ill at ease? Does your church hang out a welcome sign to visitors or a no trespassing sign? Some churches and church members never seem to welcome their spiritual leaders at all. Paul wants them to put out the welcome mat for Timothy, to treat Timothy well. Next, Paul refers to Apollos. Now, you might remember early on in this letter that the church had taken sides between Paul and Apollos. They'd been arguing over whether Paul or Apollos was, you know, the best preacher. But Paul and Apollos aren't competing. Paul writes here in verse 12, telling the Corinthians, "I strongly urged Apollos to visit you. He will come when he has opportunity." In other words, Paul is saying there's no competition between us, only a spirit of cooperation in the work of the ministry. Now Paul writes in verse 13, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." Now, this phrase here, to be watchful, means to be alert to the devil's influence. And frankly, the devil had divided this church in more ways than one. They needed to wake up to the danger. Paul tells them here to act like men and be strong, which is another reminder of the spiritual battle they're in. Don't run from it. Stay in the fight. Now, you'll notice that Paul also writes here in verse 14, "Let all that you do be done in love." Well, there's the balance. Just because they're to be tough and strong in spiritual battle doesn't mean they're to be unloving toward each other. They're to be tough and tender at the same time. Now, in typical fashion, Paul's letter turns into this thank you letter. He's expressing gratitude now to several people for their service. In verse 17, he commends Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, saying this, "They refreshed my spirit as well as yours." Then Paul gives this command, "Give recognition to such people." And I'm so grateful he said that. Now, let me tell you, beloved, in Paul's world and in our world today, athletes and actors are highly honored. The world loves to make celebrities out of superstars. But Paul says here that we're giving the grand prizes to the wrong people. The people to recognize, the people to thank, to imitate, to commend are these kinds of people who are sacrificing their lives for the work of Christ. Now here in verse 19, he sends greetings from the churches of Asia and from Aquila and Prisca, or Priscilla, together with the church in their house. Paul then tells the church here to greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, this was a cultural greeting. I've traveled to countries where everyone in the church greeted each other with a kiss on the cheek. In my home country, we don't have a holy kiss. We have what you might call a holy hug or a holy handshake. But evidently, this church in Corinth was so divided that they weren't even offering each other this very common cultural greeting. And Paul says, get back to it. Get back to greeting one another like you should, especially to those who are in the same family. Now, in view of some of the problems in the church They're going to need this final warning we find here in verse 22. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed. Now, I believe this is a subtle reminder that takes us back to chapter 5. You remember anyone living in unrepentant sin? Well, they shouldn't be allowed in the membership of the church unless they're going to demonstrate love for the Lord. Well, Paul then makes this wonderful call here in verse 22. He says, "Our Lord, come." This is a declaration of confidence in the return of Christ, isn't it? Paul has saved the best words for last. Now, he doesn't end this letter with a word of judgment, but with a declaration of joy, essentially saying, Jesus is coming again. And with that, Paul expresses his love for them, and he closes this powerful and personal letter to the church in Corinth in the same way that I end every program with you. And until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is the Wisdom Journey. I hope you were encouraged by Paul's final words in 1 Corinthians. They remind you to live generously, love sincerely, and stand firm in your faith. Obey those principles today. If you haven't yet, I'd love to invite you to join our free membership program, Friends of Wisdom. Once you sign up, you'll start receiving valuable resources from Stephen to help you walk wisely through life. Every Tuesday, Friends of Wisdom receive an email from Stephen. It might be an encouraging article to help you better apply God's Word to your everyday life, or an answer to a Bible question he's received. Joining Friends of Wisdom is both free and easy. Simply visit wisdomonline.org/friends and fill out a brief form. That's all it takes. Once you've signed up, you'll start hearing from Stephen very soon. As a special bonus, when you sign up, you'll receive 2 free resources immediately. Stephen has written 2 popular booklets, one called Blessed Assurance and another called The Coming Tribulation. You'll receive both of these valuable resources as soon as you join. Visit wisdomonline.org/friend. Join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.